which is born in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very much different. So I think that in the creation of human beings, which is to be the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there must be an iota or a bit of the spirit of his creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to worship Allah in the best way possible. That's why the human beings, which are different from the animals, can have the steps into a spiritual perfection, and the animals cannot.
Exactly. Okay. When we say that animals have, to some, you know, extent, yes, some, you know, souls, it is not similar to the, at all, similar to the souls of human beings. It, yes, is totally different. But the, you know, talking about the souls of human being, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, you know that it has been attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, because of the magnitude of that. Mm-hmm. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the importance of that. And in the verse of Noble Quran, we have Inna lillah, we are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality of human being attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, I understand these teachings are for us as a material human being, and especially in this culture, that the, you know, Western culture, which is always, you know, engaging with the materialism,
yes,
maybe sounds to be complicated.
That's right.
But these are the reality of the human being, because many people, they think that, and they ask, who am I? Mm-hmm. What is my reality? Why I have been created? What is the purpose of life?
Yes.
You know, sounds to be simple, but it's in a same time very difficult,
yes,
for some people to find answer for. You know that the, but if you understand the human being has two dimensions, first of all, physical, and second, spiritual aspect of human being, you can easily find some answer for this complicated question. So the reality, again, the reality of human being is soul of human being, mm-hmm, and it never die. Mm-hmm. So you never die, which means that your soul never perish, rather, mm-hmm, your body would perish, mm-hmm, you know, to some extent, and your soul remain, and the reality of the human being actually is your soul. And this pure soul has some kind of tendencies. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, many human beings have same feeling. They have been experienced same feeling. Feeling of giving charity.
Yes.
To be volunteer for the poor people. I don't know, for those people who have been got into some, you know, problems. Mm-hmm. You know, they have been stuck in earthquakes.
Yes.
Or for example, in flood. You want to have some offer, some volunteer, you know, contribution. These kinds of altruistic tendency that we find in the human being actually stems from your soul.
That's right.
Which is your reality. On the other hand, we have some animalistic tendencies, like, for example, doing some evil actions, I don't know, bothering other people, committing adultery. Sometimes this kind of tendency always struggle with each other.
Yes.
It shows that human being has two dimensions.
That's right. And unlike Christianity, we do not believe in the Holy Spirit.
No.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the Holy Spirit. He is the creator of the spirit too, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I do not, because of that, I gave this introduction.
Yes.
In order for my dear listener not to confuse these ideas, when we say the soul and spirit, it does not refer to the Christian understanding of this issue. It is totally different. We are talking about نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. We are talking about the reality of human being and the beginning of the creation of mankind. And actually, we believe that when any child in the beginning of creation, usually around after four months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew this spirit to the body of mankind. Okay, we call, yes, it the position of نَفْخِ رُوح.
Yes.
And it become prepared to be complete version of human being.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the spirits into us. For example, at the time of the death, we can say when the angel of the death comes, by the order of Allah, it takes away, isn't it, the spirit from our body.
We can say the owner of his spirit or the creator of his, you know, spirit and the souls of human being. We can have different terms here, but after all, inna lillah, we are from Allah. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the creation and the origin of human being is from Allah. It is very important to understand that. And our destination is kind of returning to Him. Wa inna ilayhi
raji'un. That's right.
And one time we refer to Him, and actually we are passing this life in order to get some kind of proximity toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it very clearly showed the beginning, origin of creation, and the destination of that.
That's right. Can you give us also other examples from the text of the Holy Quran referring to the concept of robe or something?
For example, in the verse of Noble Quran, we have فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينَ حَنِيفًا فِتْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Straight toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn your face toward His religion, which is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this kind of fitrat Allah means the, you know, God-given nature of human being.
That's right.
Which is referring to the reality and the souls of human being, which have some kind of tendency toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a need for worshipping the Almighty, a need for having this kind of, as I mentioned, lots of examples of the altruistic examples. These kind of humanistic, examples and tendencies within the human being, embedded in the souls of human being, referring to the reality of mankind.
That's all right. Thank you much, Sheikh Nur Muhammad, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of a spirit. And we can say how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human being with blowing His own spirit into the bodies of the human being. It was very kind of you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Palestinians held a mass rally in the blockaded Gaza Strip to support Al-Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds in the face of growing Israeli aggressions against the holy city. People shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and slammed the silence of Arab countries on Israel's crimes in Al-Quds. Tensions have been on the rise in recent weeks as extremist Israeli settlers and Israeli forces desecrated the city's Al-Aqsa Mosque. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, which organized the rally, warned the Israeli regime against violations in Al-Quds.
We're sending a clear message to the whole world that the Palestinian resistance and the Palestinian people are in a constant battle against the Israeli enemy and will not remain silent over aggressions against Al-Aqsa.
People from all walks of life gathered to express their support for resistance as the best way to defend Al-Quds against Israeli attacks.
People in Gaza are attending this rally to affirm our support and full backing for the Palestinian resistance. We believe that armed resistance is key to the liberation of Al-Quds and all of Palestine.
Observers say the international community has failed to help Palestinians in Al-Quds and turned a blind eye to Israeli violations against them. Al-Quds is sacred to all Muslims, and Palestinians consider it as the capital of their future state.
We are here to support Al-Aqsa Mosque because it's part of our faith, and we are willing to sacrifice our lives in order to protect it. Gaza will always defend Al-Quds, and we call on all Arabs and Muslims to protect Al-Quds.
Occupied by Israeli regime forces in 1967, Al-Quds has been at the core of the Palestinian struggle for freedom and justice.
Palestinians say they will use all forms of resistance to protect Al-Aqsa Mosque and the holy city of Al-Quds. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
Tehran has hosted the fifth conference in solidarity with the Palestinian children and the youth. The event is held every year on the occasion of the martyrdom of 12-year-old Palestinian Mohammed al-Dur and other martyrs of Palestinian children and the youth. The event highlights the ongoing plight of those born under Israeli occupation and blockade. Human rights groups have long accused the Israeli regime of deliberately targeting Palestinian children. This comes amid the failure of the international community to hold Tel Aviv accountable for its crimes.
All Muslims are duty-bound to fight against the Zionist regime in an effort to maintain peace and stability in the Islamic world and the region, and stand firmly against the expansionism and aggressive policies of Israel.
Mohammed al-Dur was martyred in the Gaza Strip on September 30, 2000. On this, Jamal al-Dur and his 12-year-old son Mohammed were filmed by a Palestinian cameraman as Israeli forces fired bullets at them.
Israeli forces shot dead Mohammed al-Dur in his father's arms, but unfortunately the murderer enjoys support from his Western backers. The regime relieves itself from any responsibility for the support it receives from some governments, communities and international organizations. That's why it exerts organized violence against Palestinian society, especially children and the youth.
Since 2008, the Israeli regime waged three wars on the Gaza Strip, killing and maiming thousands of children. During Israel's 2014 war on Gaza, Israeli forces killed over 2,200 Gazans, including hundreds of children. According to the Palestinian Prisoner Society, the Israeli regime has detained more than 9,000 Palestinian children across the occupied territories over the past 7 years. 19,000 minors, including children younger than 10 years of age, had been arrested since the outbreak of the Second Intifada back in September 2000.
To Palestinians, martyrdom of 12-year-old Mohammed al-Dur has become a symbol of resistance, which Palestinians believe is the only solution to put an end to Israeli aggressions in occupied Palestine. Saman Kujrup, Tehran.
The farmers from Pakistan's most significant agriculture province of Punjab have been staging a sit-in since last week. The protest action is against the imposition of agrarian taxes and the increase of electricity tariffs by the government, which they say have badly hit their income.
The farmers who have been protesting since last week in Islamabad's Blue Area are asking the government to waive the taxes recently imposed on tube-well electricity and agriculture fertilizers.
Farmers are the backbone of the country's economy. We are demanding the restoration of the previous tube-well electricity tariff of RS 5.3 per unit and abolishment of all the taxes recently levied, as well as the other adjustments made by the government.
The farmers have warned that they will block off the main roads countrywide if their demands are not accommodated. They are also seeking an end to what they call black marketing of fertilizers and reduction of urea rate, which has risen to 400% in recent days.
The rates of urea and other key agricultural fertilizers have gone up in recent months. We cannot afford costs of harvesting our crops in such conditions. We demand relief funds from the government for the agricultural sector.
The government considers agriculture a provincial subject, so it refrains from addressing farmers' major issues. However, authorities are in contact with the relevant stakeholders to alleviate the farmers' concerns. The devastating floods, which have left more than 1,600 Pakistanis dead and displaced over 33 million people, have added to Pakistan's forex woes, with an estimated economic loss of over $30 billion. Although the International Monetary Fund recently agreed to release over $1.17 billion in funds to Pakistan, the economic situation remains precarious in flood-hit country. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
The High School of Human Sciences Leonardo da Vinci is located in central Rome, not far from the Colosseum. The school has a good reputation. It offers a mix of classical and modern studies and a cultural background which, reads its website, allows pupils to access any university faculty. However, earlier this week, one of Leonardo da Vinci's teachers cut a lock of hair from an Iranian student after urging her to express solidarity with the protests taking place in Iran. The underage girl had remained unresponsive to the teacher's request.
We were shocked at the teacher's behavior. It targeted an Iranian minor because of her nationality and made the student feel that expressing solidarity was an act due for her. An act of exclusion from the class was then turned into an act of violence when the teacher humiliated the student by cutting a lock of her hair.
The teacher was addressing his pupils on the issue of protests in Iran that have been going on for days after the tragic death of 22-year-old girl Mahsa Amini. She politely refused to be interviewed, saying that Italy's education authority has forbidden all school staff from engaging with the media on the issue. The teacher involved in the case risks now a disciplinary sanction. Even the mayor of Rome, Roberto Gualtieri, has said the episode concerning the Iranian student, if confirmed, would be an unacceptable form of bullying.
For sure there was violence in the way the teacher behaved. The whole story revolves around someone who has been bullied and their attacker. In between were the other students stunned, petrified, because of the teacher's gesture. They suddenly acted as if they were attendants. They were passive, resigned, a common attitude in our society.
The fact that a teacher, who is someone who should encourage free thinking and the natural reflection of wanting to do something for oneself, I don't know, I think it was absolutely unnecessary, and they should definitely face some consequences.
Also, the National Association of Principals of Rome has condemned the teacher's gesture, saying that teachers should always act with great caution and that principals must ensure that schools are a place of growth and not a place where one looks for media exposure. Max Civili, Rome.
Another black day for the residents of the west of Kabul. Today morning, a bomb hit the Qaj Educational Center in Dasht-e Barchi area in Sheikh Hazara neighborhoods. The students were sitting a practice university exam when the explosion went off. The victims of the incident were taken to the hospital. Their relatives report a high number of casualties.
My sister and my cousin were brought here to the emergency hospital. They are now in critical health conditions. They were at the educational center for their exams. As I witnessed, the victims were all innocent people. I saw nearly 60 to 70 people dead and wounded in one individual hospital.
Terrified Muhammad Issa has brought his wounded niece to this hospital. He calls on the Taliban and the global community to do something to help get rid of such attacks.
I saw a lot of people killed or injured. It was very shocking. I visited the educational center. Scores of bodies were laid on the floor. People are terrified. I don't know why there is no end to our suffering. They attack us everywhere. Till when? I call on the global community to do something for the situation of Afghan people, especially Hazaras.
Here, Taliban security officials are visiting the site of the explosion. They say they will take all necessary steps for tightening security for all.
Inshallah,
Islamic Emirate is watchful for the security of the people, especially in western Kabul. I promise that everything will come under our control and such incidents won't happen in the future. Such attacks on innocent students are carried out by the enemies of Islam and the people of Afghanistan.
Mosques and educational centers in Shah Hazara neighborhoods in Kabul have been the target of terrorist attacks for years. The Daesh terrorist group have claimed responsibility for most of such attacks. People here in western Kabul say the seemingly endless violence has exhausted them. They want peace, security, and justice. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
For many years, the people of Donbas have been waiting for this historic day, which was preceded by bloody war in the east of Ukraine that led to the intervention of the Russian army to save the Lugansk and Donetsk people from genocide. Despite Western pressure, the Russian president did not hesitate to accept the request of four regions of eastern Ukraine to join the federation through a referendum described as successful by authorities in those regions. Central Election Committee representatives reported that those who took part in the votes decided overwhelmingly in favor of the accession to Russia.
The unbroken people of Donbass, Zaporizhia and Kherson said the word. I want the authorities in Kyiv and the real masters in the West to hear me, and I want everyone to remember this. People living in DPR, LPR, Kherson and Zaporizhia have become our citizens forever.
In a ceremony attended by the heads of Donetsk, Lugansk, Kherson and Zaporozhye regions, Vladimir Putin signed a decree for the formal accession of the former Ukrainian territories controlled by the Russian army over the past months. As a result, the four regions became part of the Russian Federation, which is now obliged to protect them from any aggression under the constitution and the Russian military doctrine.
Today we are fighting for a just and free path. First of all, for ourselves, for Russia, for diktat, despotism to remain forever in the past. I am convinced that countries and peoples understand that a policy based on exclusivity of anyone, on the suppression of other cultures and peoples, is inherently criminal, that we must turn this shameful page. The collapse of Western hegemony that has begun is irreversible. And I repeat again, it will not be the same as before.
Our country is taking back its historical lands that our grandfathers defended. I am inspired that I caught and I am a participant of this moment. These territories and our people were artificially divided.
The West, led by the United States, has been supplying all kinds of weapons to Ukraine, sending large numbers of mercenaries to the country, and imposing huge economic sanctions against Russia. But it has failed to stop Moscow's special military operation in Ukraine. And for the Donbas, Zaporozhye and Kherson regions, which have been fighting for their right to become part of Russia, the accession means, first of all, security and sustainable economic development for them.
The right and decision of the four regions to join Russia is undoubtedly a historical moment. Moscow says strikes by Ukraine on those territories joining Russia today will be seen as an act of aggression against the state. It has vowed to protect the territories at all cost after their accession to Russia. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
A recent report by the Pentagon says 12 civilians were killed in drone strikes during 2021 in Afghanistan. Two were killed in separate airstrikes in Herat and Kandahar, and 10 members of a family in a drone operation in Kabul just before the U.S. withdrawal. Although General McKenzie admitted that the incident was a mistake, but none of the U.S. military forces went on trial for this attack. The report also compares the number of casualties in 2021 and 2020. It shows there is a decrease, but those aren't the only years the U.S. was present in Afghanistan. The United States came to Afghanistan in 2001 and left the country in 2021. Armed drones were used by the U.S. military from the beginning. Still, there is no mention of the overall number of casualties in the report.
In recent years, the U.S. and the Taliban were negotiating and agreed that the U.S. reduces drone attacks, and that is why we witnessed a decrease in casualties during these two wars. This does not mean the Americans value human rights or have reduced errors and miscalculations in their operations. Drawing a comparison between these two years can't simply be a positive point for the Pentagon.
The exact number of casualties during the 20 years of the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan is unknown, but the statistics show a 330% increase in the figure since 2017, when the U.S. military relaxed its rules of engagement for airstrikes in Afghanistan. Another source estimates more than 1,000 civilians have lost their lives in air raids, but that only includes the death toll from 2015 to 2020, which accounts for only 5 years of the U.S. presence. The survivors of U.S. attacks never received proper compensation, and no American troops were duly tried for their wrongdoings in Afghanistan. The reason, as stated most of the time, was that the investigations never found any violation of the law. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
The moment when, via live link from a neighboring room, the Electoral Committee of Donetsk People's Republic announced to the press their intention to join Russia.
Colleagues, on the question raised for the referendum, do you support Donetsk People's Republic entering the Russian Federation by the rights of its subject is considered to be confirmed? I ask you to sign the protocol. It's a historical signature. I congratulate you.
These are historical days now. We are reuniting with our big motherland, Great Russia. Now we can breathe out, take a break for half a day, and continue creating, building, and repairing. But now we are not going to do it alone. Our brothers, our friends are with us now. I would like to thank every Donbass citizen. You are heroes.
Meanwhile, NATO countries have dismissed the votes as a sham. They say they are illegal under Ukrainian and international law. I put this question to Denis Pushilin moments after the result was made official.
Ukraine and NATO countries call this referendum illegitimate, and Russia is the only country so far to say that this referendum is legitimate. What do you have to say to those critics?
You know, once there was a time when Western countries didn't recognize the USSR. Our way is defined. The Western point of view was expected. Of course, we'll take into account their opinion, but we'll now act following the interests of our mother Russia.
Regardless of whether the West sees these referendums as legitimate or not, in the coming days, Russia will announce that these regions are now part of the Russian Federation, ushering in a new stage in the Russia-Ukraine war. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
The World Bank, in its latest report on Afghanistan, has said that global food and energy prices continue to put pressure on basic household prices in the crisis-stricken country. At the same time, rising inflation and slow recovery in nominal wages have decreased the people's ability to buy basic goods.
Today, we witness people have lesser purchasing power. Previously, a middle-class household used to pay nearly $200 to buy multiple goods, but today they only ask for very basic necessities like oil and flour. You know, the prices are increasing. In addition, the banking crisis and sanctions have affected the prices and business in the market.
The World Bank report has confirmed that since June 2022, Afghanistan's currency has depreciated slightly against the U.S. dollar, while the prices of basic food and fuel items continue the upward trend. Abdullah Rizayi, who has been working as a shoemaker for almost half of his life, says he had never experienced such economic conditions before.
In the past years, I used to make sufficient income from this job. Currently, I'm not only receiving fewer customers, but the money that I earn has lost its value. I used to make 300 Afghanis per day, but nowadays I hardly can make 50, which is the price of 5 loaves of bread. Sometimes I feel ashamed when I look at my children.
In the meantime, widespread joblessness is leaving many Afghan families without a solution to make ends meet.
We have had a job once or twice a week in the spring and summer. I wonder why we should do it in the winter when there is no job to do. People are struggling with hunger and difficulties. Some have their own houses, but they should pay for the house rent too. This year, I fell short of paying the bills, and now I am in debt.
This comes as the World Food Program has warned that Afghanistan is facing its most serious risk of famine in 20 years. The UN body has asked for $1.1 billion life-saving assistance for 18 million people across Afghanistan. The ripple effects of the US sanctions and freezing of billions of dollars in Afghans' assets are pushing up inflation in Afghanistan. People here are calling for the release of assets and more international funding to the country. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. Dozens of Conservative MPs have urged Liz Truss's removal from No. 10 Downing Street after a new opinion poll revealed the British public's fury over her tax plans. We look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Independent Daily reported Liz Truss's hopes of long-term survival as Prime Minister have been dealt a massive blow by a bombshell series of polls, giving Labour leader Keir Starmer leads of up to 33 points and showing support for the Tories melting away after Liz Truss's kamikaze mini-budget of tax giveaways for the rich. The Prime Minister emerged from 5 days of silence on Thursday, 29th of September, to deliver a defiant defence of the £45 billion package, which he insisted was the right plan, even while admitting it handed disproportionate cash gains to the wealthiest in society. But independent experts described the package unveiled by Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng recently as the biggest unforced error of modern economic history, warning it will usher in a new age of austerity, with the government needing to find almost £50 billion a year in cuts to public spending to meet its own targets. The new YouGov opinion poll conducted on Wednesday, 28th of September, after a mini-budget came under fire from the International Monetary Fund and the Bank of England was forced to intervene to shore up pension funds, put Keir Starmer's Labour Party up 9 percentage points since the weekend on 54% and Tories down 7 points to 21%. A separate survey had Keir Starmer's party 21 points clear on 49% to the Tories' 28%. Delta poll recorded a 19 percentage point margin with Labour on 48% to the Tories' 29%. And Redfield and Wilton had a 17-point gap between Labour on 46% and Conservatives on 29%. Experts at the Resolution Foundation think tank said that if Liz Truss refuses to U-turn, she will need to impose spending cuts broadly the same or bigger than George Osborne did after a banking crash, with fiscal tightening of £37 billion to £47 billion a year required to meet the commitment to get debt reduction by 2026-2027. The think tank warned the market turmoil, which has seen traders dumping government bonds, has increased Britain's debt interest costs by almost £12.5 billion a year. Liz Truss confirmed on Thursday, 29th of September, that she and her ministers are now looking for cuts across government, claiming that there are plenty of areas where taxpayers' money could be saved. Britain's Guardian newspaper explains more about the same story. Angry Tory MPs pressured Prime Minister Liz Truss to sack Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng or face a mutiny amid the UK financial market turmoil and the Conservative backbenchers' unease over the government's emergency tax-cutting mini-budget. Dwelling on the £45 billion of unfunded tax cuts in Kwasi Kwarteng's mini-budget unveiled recently, former Cabinet Minister Julian Smith tweeted that it is critical that the government is honest about the current situation and plays its part in stabilising the markets. He claimed that No. 10 Downing Street can keep a growth plan but needs to make changes. Not doing so will only continue further stress and strain on UK citizens. Conservative MP Robert Largan was cited by The Guardian as saying that he has serious reservations about a number of announcements made by the Chancellor and that he does not believe that cutting the 45 pence top tax rate is the right decision when the government's fiscal room for manoeuvre is so limited. Mel Stride, the Tory chair of the Treasury Select Committee, urged the party to try to avoid a political crisis on top of an economic one, saying, "The question is whether the mini-budget plan is going to succeed. It's had an adverse reaction from the markets." The Guardian reported that in private remarks, some MPs went even further, slamming the mini-budget as a disaster and insisting that only a reversal of this financial package and the sacking of Kwasi Kwarteng could get the party back on an even keel. One MP told The Guardian, "Kwasi will have to go. Prime Minister Truss won't have any option. They're actually crashing the economy and she will need somebody to blame." Moreover, according to a YouGov opinion poll commissioned by the Times newspaper, Britain's Labour Party gained the highest level of citizen support over the ruling Conservative Party in the past 20 years, following the release of an economic growth plan by the government. On Friday, 23rd of September, Britain's Chancellor of the Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng, unveiled a new £60 billion growth plan to support the country's economy amid rising cost of living. The plan includes cancelling the planned rise in corporation tax, keeping it the lowest in the G20 at 19%. Since the announcement, the yield on the United Kingdom's five-year government bonds has risen to its highest level since 2008 at 4.6%, which means a lower demand for British debt securities, triggering a barrage of criticism against Prime Minister Liz Truss and her government. The survey showed that the Labour Party is leading the Conservative by 17 percentage points. This is the highest level of support since Tony Blair, the first Labour Prime Minister, won the general election in 2001. There is opposition even among traditional Conservative supporters. Overall, the Conservative support fell by 4 percentage points to 28%, while Labour's support rose 5 percentage points to 45%. According to the opinion poll, 72% of respondents opposed the decision to reduce the maximum income tax rate to 40% for those who earn more than £150,000 a year. Meanwhile, 69% of respondents said they voted for the Conservatives in 2019. In addition, 71% of the public disagreed with the decision to lift restrictions on the payment of bonuses to bankers. Only 9% of those who voted believed that the measures outlined by Kwasi Kwarteng will improve their financial situation, and 25% believed that the government has a clear plan for managing the economy. In a separate development, The Guardian cited unnamed Whitehall sources as saying that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng had a row over how to respond to the British pound plunging to an all-time low against the US dollar. According to the insiders, there was an argument between the two during the recent gathering, with the Prime Minister reportedly resisting the Chancellor's suggestion that a Treasury statement was needed to calm down the financial markets.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam I be. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners of Youth Station. Welcome to another episode of Arab English Radio.
Here. I'm Zainab.
Yes,
a co-host. And she's
Asma. At your service, we're here to talk about some very interesting stuff.
Everyone likes.
Yes, which is going to be everyone's favorite, I guess. You know what, Zainab? Modern society is taking us somewhere that we shouldn't actually be too much caring about it, but it is happening to be something that has turned into the center of attention of everyone, which is...
To be rich?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. To be rich and to have too much of facilities and you know how the material world works.
Yes.
Now, how do you define richness?
For the world, richness is to amass money. More money you have, the more rich you are. But is it actually to be rich? No, it is not.
Yes, of course.
Richness is, if you're well physically, mm-hmm. if you're doing well mentally. Mm-hmm. So the first component of being rich is your health.
Well, let's make something clear from the very beginning. We do not say that money is a bad thing. Money is good and money is going to bring
prosperity.
That's
security.
That's very clear.
Yeah. Unless and until you don't have money, you don't have security.
Exactly. So. Yeah. It will be a supportive thing that will back you up in life.
But don't like...
But when it turns into a complex, when it turns into something...
Don't rely on it.
Yeah, don't kill yourself for it.
Don't kill others for it.
Yes, and don't kill others for it. When it becomes something that depresses you, when it becomes something that you do all your efforts, you even sell yourself and your values for it, it's not a good thing.
Yes.
Because money is good, but not at whatever cost.
Yes.
When you said that richness is health, richness is just having those good qualities that you talked about, it reminds me of something, some poem that I just have the meaning of it in my mind, which said, let the richness be in your eyes,
all right,
not in the things that you're looking at.
Exactly.
So there we actually have an idiom for it. We say that the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So
yeah.
Sometimes you see some people,
yeah.
I actually have seen some like this. They do not have that much of great social status. They do not have too much of money. They do not even own a home for themselves.
Happy.
But they're happy.
They're happy.
And when you talk to them, you feel that they are rich with manners and rich with the hospitality and generosity, even if they're not having anything at hand.
I would like to quote one of the world's best swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
It's Michael Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's Michael Phelps who owns 28 medals. In the Olympics, who out of these 28, 23 were gold and 3 were silver and 2 mm-hmm. were bronze.
So he's a great person.
Record.
Yeah.
A record that is very, very hard to break.
Mm-hmm.
Of one of the best swimmers of the world, Michael Phelps. He says, just a few days ago, I read in one of the news in an interview with AFP, he said that I would rather prefer to save a life than to go for one more gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people...
Yeah. So the richness is in his heart.
Yeah. Definitely this being a mental health advocate does not give him that much money the gold medal is going to give him.
Yeah.
That is going to bring him. But he has found the real sense of richness.
But since we're believing in our religion,
life,
you know,
to provide
in the
life to someone will give mm-hmm. you so much richness in
yeah.
your heart and mind that nothing else, like no other wealth will give you. Like this is a quote of someone who owns 28 medals. That's a world record thing. That's a hard to break thing. That's why I quoted him, because you have people, for example, some people who don't have even like much material status. So such people saying like money is not everything, or money is not richness. It's not very absorbing or digestive thing. But if someone who owns so many medals is telling you that this does not give me richness,
mm-hmm.
saving a life means more to me. That
usually people would take it from the person who have been
who
there.
Who has money.
Yeah.
Yeah, who has, definitely.
And also I wanted to say that as Muslims, we have this in our background and in our narrations, that whatever you do in this world, you're not going to achieve the desireful world that you dream for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we get into the depth of richness, let's go for a short break and we'll be back in no time.
Yeah,
so dear listeners,
stay tuned.
Yes, don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Youth Station. We were talking about everyone's concern, that is richness.
To be rich,
yes.
Yeah.
To be rich or not. Actually, we should define richness. Yeah. It is not how to be, because there are many ways for how to be a rich person,
yeah,
which I believe most of them do not work.
So we should put it like this. What is richness in reality?
And we already said that. There are two dimensions into richness.
Yeah.
One is the materialistic way of looking into richness. Another is a spiritual.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the spiritual one is more important than the materialistic one. Why?
Because that's going to have impact on your mental health.
Exactly. And also, as Muslims, we do believe that this world... Well, recently, Zainab, I was listening to a great scholar who was talking about richness and the current concerns of human beings who lived in modern society. And he was saying that, he said actually something that struck my attention, and it was like a moment of manifestation to me. I heard that and I said, yeah, that's very true. Why we are killing ourselves for this world? He said that, keep it in mind that this world is not the utopia in which you're going to achieve all your dreams.
Yes.
This is not going to happen at all.
So
even and a full stop.
Yeah. So we also have a quote from Imam Sadiq al-Islam who says that for your deeds, you will be paid in that world, not for the money you amounted. Yeah. So why are you, you know, amassing it?
So
he does a question mark. So when you're going to get a reward for your deeds, then why are you amassing so much money? And also we have another hadith from Imam Ali al-Islam who says that in terms of money itself, because this world has made a concept rich is equal to money.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I would like to quote Imam Ali al-Islam who says that if you're only amassing money, just know that you're guarding. You're a security guard of somebody else's money.
That's very nice.
Because when you die tomorrow, does this money belong to you now? No, you were a security guard of this money.
It would go to your inheritance.
Yes. In another hadith, Imam Ali al-Islam says, the best way to spend your money is to spend it on others.
Yeah, to do good with that money.
To do good with that money. Even Quran says that even if we provided you, don't say to us that, oh, wow, I'm lucky.
It's
no.
Test.
You are an Ibtila. You're in a test.
Yeah, you're in a test.
Yeah, Surah
Fajr. And you have to make the best of it. You know, Zainab, it is very unfortunate to say that in some countries you see that there are some tyrants who would do everything for getting money.
Yeah.
For richness, you know, this is the truth behind all the wars.
I keep on reading the news that there was two grandsons who killed their grandmother just to get that money.
Exactly.
There's so many different things that are happening
when
around the world.
That urge and greed for keeping too much of money, for attaining too much of money, when that greed starts to improve in you, then you will turn gradually into a beast.
But unfortunately, people don't learn from history. We have had in history, you know, we saw in history the history of Karbala in itself.
Yeah.
The story of Karbala in itself. There was so greed. There was so much this for money, the position, the power.
You are talking about Umar ibn Sa'd, who wanted to govern the city of Ray. At the end, what happened was that he didn't get anything.
Exactly.
And he lost his reputation as well.
Everything.
And
not only in this world.
Yeah.
Not only in this world.
I was just going to mention that he did not even lose this world. He actually lost the world to come as well.
Just for the greed of some power and some position and some money.
See, and let's say this with double stress, that this world is not permanent. It's a temporary place.
Yes. Well,
this is a temporary travel that we are going through a journey, and that's all. But the world to come is going to be permanent.
Yeah.
So attaining money is very good.
Yeah.
Trying to find some methods in order to gain money is very good. Because by having too much of money, you're going to help plenty of people. If you're a Muslim person, if you're a real believer, you're going to help too much
people. You may have so many people around you, but you don't
actually
know.
We're talking about the extremes.
You don't even know who is with you.
Yeah.
You might have a big army behind you, but you don't actually know who is with you by heart.
Yeah.
You may buy a very good bed, but you don't have sleep.
Yeah.
You may buy a very big house, but you don't have peace. You're not happy.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable.
You do not have a peaceful life. There is something also, buying heart is more important than buying things.
And that's what people remember.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
People don't remember what you wore some 5-6 years ago. People
exactly.
don't remember how you look, like how much you spent on your bags or your mm-hmm. dressing
exactly.
or for your
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, women do so much. They are so much spending on the body image, which nobody is going to remember. But what people will remember mm-hmm. is your actions, how
exactly.
kind you were with them.
There was actually another piece just to wrap this session up. I used to read this piece, which is very beautiful, and said that by the end of the life, you are not going to be judged by the amount of money you achieved, by the amount of houses you gathered, houses you built for yourself. You're going to be judged with your hearts. And also, there another quote said that when you die, nobody is going to remember what you have done to them, how you have treated them. The only thing they will remember from you is a feeling they have towards you.
And they will have that feeling yeah. because of what you did with them.
Exactly. So the feeling that you shared with them.
Yeah. So also one of the authors, Andrew Matthew writes in The Secret of Happiness that every step that you take will actually define the destiny that you're going to
yeah, that is very
lead,
true.
Yeah, that's coming your way. So whatever you do today, the way you are, even if you're amassing money, I'm not saying amassing money is bad, but just remember that should not only be your goal.
Achieving that at whatever cost is bad.
Yeah. So he says in that book that even if you have money security, like you mm-hmm. have, I have a cousin who is very, very rich through his mother and father because they are rich, but he does not have an aimful life. So richness without an aimful life
yeah.
means nothing.
Being ignorant and rich
yeah,
does not mean
so
anything.
Unless and until you're not physically well, you're not mentally well, and you don't have an aimful life, that's important. So you're not rich.
Exactly. Yeah.
Having a life that has meaning, meaningful life gives you richness.
So just to wrap it up, I would say that richness must be in your heart. Yes, it is very true that we should try our best to find a way to get into prosperity. Achieving too much of money is not bad as long as you're a good person and you achieve too much of money in order to help other people or in order to facilitate your home, your children, your family member, whatever. But the thing which is bad is going for greed.
Yeah.
Doing that into an extreme that will lead into a harmful life that would be dangerous for other people who are around you.
Putting your health at risk.
Exactly, putting your health at risk. So peace is much more important than richness. Do your best for achieving money, but in a good way, and do not let it to kill your true self. That's all. Thank you for listening.
I bid you farewell.
Yes. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.